following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show, the cyber security and AI version. We have our AI expert, the cyber expert, Mr. AI Wynn, joining us again today. Wynn, how are you doing today?
Great, glad to be here. It's kind of rainy outside here. The weather change.
A little bit.
No, not a little bit, from 32 degrees yesterday to 60 degrees right now.
We're about 60, oh my 64 God. Right now mm-hmm. here in San Antonio.
And it's going to be rain all day, rain all week next week.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a part of the scene here in Texas.
Yeah.
You never know from hour to hour what the weather's going to be, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, listen, we've got a lot to discuss this week. We've had some big news in the AI world in the last week. You introduced just a week ago the Chinese offering DeepSeek. I guess it's revision or R1, whatever that stands for. I presume it's Rev1. And then, not to be outdone, you know, we Americans can always spend more money than the Chinese, can't we, Wynn?
Well, and, you know, quality, but not quantity, right? Well, there are two schools of thought. So today we cover, you know, two things about several things. We're going to discuss about how AI, you know, impact the cybersecurity. And also we talk about the... if we have time, we'll talk about passwordless, and I can tell you, the viewer, we're interested in the new term, right?
But what'd you say? What'd you call it? We're talking about
passwordless.
That's okay. I thought that's what I heard you say.
It's not the new thing, but it's more secure. There's a one-time password that you don't have to remember your password. And we'll go through it today.
Yeah.
But let me start out with the... okay, so get this. A company in China called DeepSeek, okay? And a few weeks ago...
For people that aren't looking online, let's spell it. It's DeepSeek. One word.
DeepSeek. Like DeepSeek.
There you go.
Okay.
And define it just generally, it's free... It's based on an open source language model. Go ahead, Wynn.
Before, for our user out there, you probably heard the word OpenAI, artificial intelligent software that Sam Bankman created. You know, OpenAI that you heard all about it. It's in the chat that you create. You type in anything and it give you the answer. Okay, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So last week, the China company called DeepSeek. They just dropped this AI model, and it's like seriously shaking up the entire AI scene. It's wild. So the model, they call it DeepSeek R1. And what's fascinating is it's performing like on par with OpenAI, which is American model. But here's the kicker. It's an open source, so it's free. Okay. And what's so good about it is you hear about everyone get hyped about the DeepSeek one is that one of the things that stand out is that it's built on the idea of system of two thinking. Now, you understand what I say by system of two thinking?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, get this. Basically, it means the model, it takes its time, like it reason through problem and carefully, and that leads to more accurate result. So when I say quality plus versus quantity, So basically, it's not just spitting out the answer. It's actually thinking through the problem. It's like human problem solver. Okay? So okay. How's it compared to traditional AI? The traditional AI, that the one that we have, OpenAI, well, is kind of processing ton of information quickly, but sometimes it can jump to the conclusion. All one, the DeepSeek, on the other hand, is like taking a step back, considering different angle, and then come up with a more thought out of solution. I'm telling you, when I run a sample side by side and I ask the question, and you can see pretty interesting that it's not just about speed, but it's about accuracy. Okay? Now here's another kicker. When we do a benchmark test, DeepSeek R1, it actually beating OpenAI in some area.
Yeah, and it, by the way, it doesn't give too much deference to the export rules.
For now.
Or lack thereof.
For now. Right? For now.
Yeah. Okay. But you know, it's interesting. I mean, the Americans, the three that joined together to create Stargate, and I don't want to get too far out over our skis, but obviously they were anticipating what was coming. And so they kind of moved the bar just almost instantaneously when DeepSeek came out. And boy, did they, I mean, they've got a direct hit on where they're headed, where if they do, and it, basically I'll just say it in a nutshell, they're going to use AI to finally, supposedly, create a cure for cancer. And if that happens, that's going to
change
give,
everything.
Yeah, it will. But again, not, they're not doing it with cheap NVIDIA H100s like DeepSeek did, and they're not doing it for $6 million. What's the price tag, Wynn, that they're claiming?
We are going to get to that in just a moment.
But in
a nutshell, I'll answer that. It costs OpenAI like over $1 billion, right?
To get to where they're at with ChatGPT?
Exactly. And guess how much? And they use NVIDIA, like a heavy-duty processor, right?
Expensive NVIDIA
Expensive,
chips.
Right. Yeah. And guess what? How much it costs DeepSeek to...
how much?
$6 million.
$6 million.
And they're
That's
using...
Crazy. It's almost free. Wynn.
Almost free. And they're using a traditional Apple M2 processor.
Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. That's another reason to
That's
use
another,
Apple
and
products.
How, so how, it's not about spending, throw money at hardware, right?
Yeah.
This is what happened when you block people from purchasing things that you don't want to purchase. They improvise. They create the new thinking. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is exactly what Einstein said, you know, and I like Einstein quote, you know, the best thing they ever do, they stopped teaching me. Now I have to figure it out myself. You know, in the area that R1, I call R1, the DeepSeek, is really shine, is in the logical reasoning and problem solving. And it's like, well, really complex mathematical calculations, right? Crunching number. And it beat OpenAI, believe it or not. That's what stirred up all the news online with AI. Okay. So. They're using, so now you know what the two system thinking is, right? And it's free. It's free, open source, okay? So what does it mean, open source? That could lead to much, much innovations, in my opinion, right?
They'll have everybody working for free, working for them, you know, the whole world.
Exactly, like open source approach that if you give to everyone for free with this powerful access of AI, so that's very clever, right? Right. So now here's the thing, though. What make also the DeepSeek stand out? What they do is very clever. Okay. They created a smaller, more efficient version of R1. They call it small version. So basically, they call the term it distilled version. So they keep the high performance of the original model, but they give away easier to run. So you don't need a supercomputer to use them, right?
Yeah. And necessity is the mother of invention, Wynn.
Yep,
They had to figure out workarounds.
Let me write that down.
And I don't think it was Einstein that
So here's the kicker. There's another part of this story that I find super interesting. Okay, this idea that Dipsick R1 is thinking in a way that seems almost human. And I can tell you, you want to hear more about that?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. This one, in the most intriguing part of R1, they actually use aha moment. Do you know what I mean by aha moment, like humans? It's like a certain realizations. So what does that mean? It's solving a super complex math problem and it actually changing strategy in the mid-calculation, like human. I have a problem, a moment. Like it actually, it's not a glitch, right? It certainly see a better way to solve problem and stop and it modify. That is crazy. You understand what I'm talking about, right? Like changing the engine in the mid-air to fix the engine in the mid-air.
Yeah, it's a distillation process is what some of the articles refer to, where it doesn't just quit.
Yep. It improvised. It realized it gave you the answer. It changed its mind and it said, "Wait a minute. I'm gonna do something better." Okay. Yeah. So it's not too random. It's more like trying to blend in. Actually, both fascinating, a little creepy at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. Well, in any event, it's to me the thing that's really amazing or most interesting is the ability for products like this technology to supersend all the stuff that we worry about on a day-to-day basis, like China taking back Taiwan, and you think about the wars that we're in the middle of and things of that nature, and there's a whole other realm out there that's above and beyond. I mean, you've got countries, you watch, there will be a lot of non-Chinese developing open source adjuncts to this round of capability. R1 will be R18 before you know it. You watch.
Now that you know that how it understands what it means to be human, right? But okay, but here's the thing. Here's another thing. DeepSeek R1, it is powerful AI open source, right? And it has the human-like thinking. But there's more things about DeepSeek, and I think it adds to more intriguing to that original story. You want to know their origins? Where they came from?
Sure.
Okay. The origins, did you know that DeepSeek is actually a side project from a quant company? Do you know what I mean
by quant company? Okay, pull that down for the layperson.
Okay, all right. So actually, the quant company is basically, when I say a side project, it's like a part-time, a spare time that they have, right? From a quant company. So people say, hey, what the heck is a quant company? Well, a quant company is a company that uses a complex mathematical model to make financial decisions in China. So they known for having a seriously bright people and a ton of computing power. Okay, so this group of geniuses, they decide one day to think around AI on the other side and create something that just shake up the entire industry overnight. Well, actually, when I say overnight, I mean take a little bit of time. So it's pretty wild story.
Yeah, but it didn't take near as long as we spent.
No. That's what's incredible. So right. That show you innovation came from the most unexpected place.
Hey, by the way, I know it probably goes without saying because it is artificial intelligence, but do they write code in Chinese or English, or the product itself converts it as needed because it's AI, right? It ought to be able to translate everything.
I'm pretty sure everything is quantum-based, like qubit and all kind of stuff. It's the same. It doesn't matter the languages. It's all converted into something.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that it make you wonder what breakthrough might be happening under the radar, right?
This is that's what I'm saying. I mean, Ellison and Altman and I forget the SoftBank guy's name, but they had to know what's going on behind the scenes, and they're probably working together already, right? Wouldn't you think?
So let's zoom out for a second and look at the bigger picture. What are the implications here of AI that can think like human? That's, and to answer your question, how those people like Sam, and just look at the big picture, right? If AI can reason and learn, even having like aha moment, what can we do? What does that mean for the future? Are we going to be out of a job?
Unlikely. No. Unlikely.
Well,
somebody's got to drive the wagon, man. Well, know? I mean, I know at this moment it seems like we might be, but
we may be replaced by robot.
We'll evolve into other areas of value.
Actually, I think you're right. It's not that quite simple. Although it's definitely worth thinking about. I mean, AI is going to change the way we work for sure. Some job will be automated, and there will be new opportunity
right,
that emerge.
Right.
But here's the key. The key is to be adapt, right? It's to focus on the skill that complement AI rather than competing with it.
Yes.
So what does that mean for our user today? So things like creativity, critical thinking, our ability to connect with other human, emotional level, that's something that AI cannot do, right? So these are the areas. These are the area I think humans still have the edge. AI can process information and solve problems in an amazing way, but it still lacks that human touch, you know, the depth of understanding that the complexity of human relationship, I don't think it can handle that.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, I spend a lot of time on these two, and I compare.
Let me ask you, I mean, if we could somehow use AI to close the deficit, boy, we'd really be onto something, wouldn't we? We could somehow have it pick out the best, you know, with Doge, and maybe that's what Musk is planning on using so that he can avoid certain arguments just because, hey, this is what AI decided was the most efficient use of our resources,
you know,
right?
It's not like I'm going to change topic a little bit. Like, you look at Elon Musk, how many companies he owns? Six company, right?
That we know about.
How do we do it? How did he do it? Efficiency. His philosophy is double E, efficiency equal effectiveness, okay? But what happened last week, I mean, this last week was, I tell a lot of things coming out. At the same time, Trump declassified a bunch of stuff. You notice that?
Right.
And one of the things that he declassified, did you hear, well, kind of off topic a little bit about Martin Luther King Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it really quick, but you can search online. It's out there. And they say that Martin Luther King was a puppet created by the FBI. Let that sink in and see how all this related to why he all of a sudden that he opened, that he released all this stuff. I want to see the JFK document. But anyway, back to AI, you know, to answer your question that AI can solve a lot of, I think it may solve cancer too. If AI to start to think like the way we feel like us, that means they become more conscious, right? That is a scary question.
Yeah. Hey, Wynn, let's go ahead and take our first break. We're a little bit past the point in time, and we'll come back and talk more AI here momentarily. With Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprawls.com. That's Nathan at nprawls.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
Hey, welcome back. Excuse me. Welcome back to the second segment of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I'm joined again today with Mr. A.I. Nguyen. And we are talking about the new REV, the new model, I guess we might say. Yeah. Open source of DeepSeek R1, which is the newly released Chinese-produced AI model. And also we were also speaking about the American response, if you will, and of course the cost differential there and the time differential, although I don't know, what are we thinking the time is on Stargate?
That's something that I'll dig reality into it, but I'm very interested in what's going on with that. So anyway, we were stopping at the idea of consciousness with AI, right? So what does that mean that AI start to think and feel like us? So that's the question that has been debated by philosophers and scientists for ages. And there's no easy answer, honestly. So this is the topic for many years. So anyway, so we're creating something that could be incredible benefit, but at the same time, it's an unknown risk too, right? All we talk about, all this AI by DeepSeek and OpenAI. Now this conversation now to really think about ethical implications. So as an individual, how do we prepare the AI future? Any advice? Well, the only
are
thing
you asking me? Oh, you're getting ready to tell me. Okay, yeah, good. Well, I'm not sure.
So that's the question that everybody asking. So what can we do as an individual to prepare for AI power? So I think that the foremost is to stay informed and keep learning about AI and this.
How about that password list? Is that part of the answer when
so,
we're going to talk about?
AI create a lot of stuff, but we go into that. I'm going to tell you how I believe American version will respond to that.
Okay.
You know, so we're talking about between DeepSeek and we're talking about OpenAI. It's like David and Goliath story, right?
Yeah, true.
So I think this ultimately is good for consumer. It kind of brings competition as a whole, right? It puts everyone in innovate to create better, right? But what do you think OpenAI going to do next? How
you're
going to
get better. How
you think
adapt.
They, how you think
or somebody
they,
is.
They're going
may
to
not
respond.
Be them.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody else.
So it's hard to say for sure, but I think the company with a lot of resource and brilliant mind like OpenAI, I'm pretty sure they're not going to just sit back and watch DeepSeek take over. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they come back with something more impressive. In fact, you probably heard about the AI agent, right? AI agent. Okay. That's the new thing the OpenAI just released called the Operator. And only if you are a subscriber pro that you get a taste of it. So basically, it actually an operator is an agent is actually that you can use it to oh my God, do anything. Like, I'm not a programmer per se, but basically you can tell the computer step by step what to do, like create your own chatbot into the next level that unseen by anybody. I mean, it's wild. I haven't tested out yet, but I'm going to. So that's the next thing.
So it's many levels above it, like a Zen desk, I mm-hmm. guess, is the common.
It's called AI agent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I haven't tried with the DeepSeek yet, but this is going to be fascinating to watch. So do you think AI is going to be mean for human? What does it mean for humanity? Is it going to change the way we work, the way we live, in the way we understand how to mean to be humans? It's a lot of process, a lot of stuff too.
Yeah.
So DeepSeek R1 is the major turning point for human history, I think.
And first of all, I haven't heard mentioned, doesn't mean it's not out there. Is there a mobile app yet that this can run on our phones with?
The DeepSeek?
Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet, but I believe it does. But OpenAI okay. already have it. OpenAI have the app already. Have you tried it? It's pretty
no,
amazing.
No, not on...
Try it, and it's pretty amazing. You can ask question, and it can respond back. And it's not to the level like instantaneous, but it's getting there.
It's pretty quick.
It's pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it for the DeepSeek and OpenAI. We can see those two fight the battle.
Yeah. Well, and probably more than a few others. It's the Linux, if you will, of operating system mm-hmm. arena, right? I mean, effectively, or could be, the DeepSeek
yeah.
product.
So for everyone listening out there, keep asking the big question. So what does it mean? So it's just my advice, stay curious and don't be afraid of the future, whatever it may hold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's with every advance, there's possible benefits and detriments. It's not all rosy, right?
Yep. So AI, the next topic I want to talk about is AI in cybersecurity, right? So AI in cybersecurity is a double-edged sword. One side is offer you incredible benefit for defending our network. And the other side is a powerful tool for criminals. And automated hacking to deepfake. So that's the thing that this year, 2025, you're going to see a lot of deepfake-based social engineering. You saw that video that I create, all the president that I'm using their voice, voiceover, that deepfake. So technically, I can use your voice. I can mimic you. I can use it against you. That people think you, if I commit a crime using your voice, think about it for a second, your face and your voice.
Yeah. What about my fingerprints, though? Is that out there yet?
It's not there yet, but I wouldn't doubt it. You know, you give it some time. It's all about calculation.
And your DNA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
That's gonna upend a lot of. It'll be probably as or more change agent as just DNA itself, right? You remember
Man, that's scary.
All the people we figured out later we had wrongly convicted once we got DNA testing
the
capability?
The thing that I really look forward is if we use AI to solve cancer, what do you think is going
to be pretty amazing?
What's the implication there? So you think that this the pharmaceutical company going to like it? That will put them out of business, right?
Yeah, well, they need to get into the AI game. Maybe they can invent it, the part that solves cancer, right?
Maybe they already have. Maybe
yeah,
they
well,
already
that's
have.
True. Maybe they're going to take it out. They're going to take it off the market, you know?
They know, and that's the positive side that I think imagine we use AI to create the vaccine that prevent flu, for example. I think that area going to help, but that means human going to live longer. But human live longer, you think about it, that's going to have the good and also bad, right? The
How yeah, it's like we talk about on our the other version of our Be a Planner show, the tax, real estate, retirement, etc. What do you think the happens to the odds of you outliving your money? Is your money going to outlive you, or are you going to outlive your money? How are you going to pay your bills when you're 108 years old or whatever?
There you go. There you go. And when, you know, in World War One, how many how many population died from World War One versus World War Two? And when was the last time that we had a major war like World War Two? In World War Two, it cost U.S. like less than a million. And it cost the German like 4 million and the British 2 million. You think about
those are some low numbers, aren't they?
But during the Civil War and other war before that, like it's called natural selection. Now we live longer. You look like China has over a billion people. We have 300 million people, right?
So give or take.
So what does that mean? That we can out? You're right. And how we can live? We can outlive.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, there's some real practical implications here, and if living longer means being able to work longer, so that retirement ages go up, that's great. But let me tell you something. When we're at a crisis right now, when you look at the Social Security, and the Medicare system, the funding mechanism. What's the funding mechanism? It's the young people.
So
and what's our population in terms of growth doing? So it's going. We're having fewer babies. Fewer young people are entering the workforce.
The baby boomer.
Well, as opposed to back when Social Security and Medicare each were new, when there were, it depends on how you analyze it, but there was anywhere from 9 to 10 or 11. People, younger people working, paying into the system that was supporting those that were collecting. Well, now there's somewhere between 1.5 and 2, I believe, is the current number. It's not sustainable.
That's where I'm getting at. In 1975, it 1 to 15. That means for one person to retire, 15 people work, right? And that number changed today. I think you're right. Maybe 1 to 4, maybe 1 to 2, right? And how can we sustain that, right? So, and anyway, so that's what I meant. AI is good, but also bad.
Taxes will go up is one obvious answer, unless, you know, I don't know what kind of robots. I mean, obviously, robots don't have to pay FICA and Medicare per se, so maybe there is a light at the end of the AI tunnel here, and maybe it replaces some of us because some of us are no longer available to do certain tasks. It's not a bad thing when you look at it in that context, right?
Do you think we live longer now than we were before?
Like, oh, we definitely do.
So that's why the government are increasing the Social Security to 70, right?
It's that.
And every year they increase it.
Inflation and a number of other things have eroded the trust fund for Social Security and Medicare. And by the way, what area do you know? Of course, most people don't realize this, don't appreciate this, because, in fact, they'll complain about the health insurance their employer provides them without even realizing the staggering cost that that puts employers in. And if there was one area you could pray to not have inflation, it would be the medical arena. It's insane how the inflationary effect and the third party pay system has a lot to do with that. And then if it's not third party, it's government paid, you know, the Medicare and Social Security. I mean, what a, it's just a confluence of the worst possible way to run a government, run a country, run a healthcare system, all coming together, you know. So
this is in the area of you doing, right? Taxings and...
Well, yeah, we're looking at how do we as individuals sidestep or avoid getting run over by the tax train that's coming. There's no way around it. It's math. It's simple math. And in fact, for those that are interested, and we'll be talking about this more on the show coming up this Friday, CBO updated their 10-year forecast. It's an annual thing they do, and so now they're going out through fiscal year 2035 in that 10-year look, and they look at what the projected deficits are each year. They look at what the total deficit will be once you get out there, and then you can see what they're projecting on budget categories like defense and Social Security, Medicare, interest expense. Those are our four big components, and we passed $1 trillion annually in interest this past September 30th, the end of the fiscal year, or FY24, and it's shocking, and we'll be talking more about this, what the interest expense is projected to be out in the year 2035, and what the Medicare and Social Security expenditure is. And by the way, the trust fund that is kind of like the gold nuggets that you store away, you know, to back up all the borrowing that's going on with Social Security and Medicare. We'll run out of that before we get to 2035 unless we make significant policy changes. Hmm. And things like Social Security retirement age will undoubtedly go up again. And let's hope the medical advances keep track. I mean, there's nothing wrong, I think, with working longer. Let's forget about working longer. How about living longer if it's a life that we enjoy, right? But nobody wants to be connected to a machine the rest of their life. And so that brings it back around to AI, Wynn. I mean, AI can be an integral part of that change, right? And,
yeah.
You know, and I haven't seen a good analysis, and maybe there's one out there, but it's way over my feeble brain power. What about all the genome technology that we heard about, you know, what, 10, 15 years ago? That's still lurking out there, right? And maybe AI is the catalyst to free real practical innovation up out of those. I don't know if you call it technology. I guess it's technology, right? But you remember when genome was almost like AI 15 years ago? They were talking about all the wonderful things
I
we're going to get from that.
And
where'd all that go? I mean, it's still out there. In fact, AI is probably going to push it further, right, and quicker.
If you ask AI how to fix the problem with economy and human life expectations. And the first thing it said is to fix the Social Security pension and health costs and resource scarcity, you had to start from it's going to be tough. I don't think even AI cannot achieve that, because you got too many people to feed and too many sick people. In the short term, how are you going to fix it? I look for the end. I don't think AI can help with that area, you know. But anyway, that's one of the good and bad in AI. Is it, like I said, the double-edged sword?
Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk about the. I want to talk about something else too this week. Have you heard about the North Korea?
Oh, hang on, before you get started, we're going to pivot here, let's go ahead and take our final break.
Okay.
And when we come back momentarily, we'll get in. I presume you're getting ready to say password list.
Yeah.
And we'll come back and get into that.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Well, sit tight. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show, the cyber version, with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, college scholarships for the children of law enforcement, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on the USDSA and how you can help, visit usdeputy.org.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me. With big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be A Planner Show, the cyber version. And when we've been talking about AI generally, DeepSeek, and a little bit about Stargate. Say again? Sorry, and DeepFake.
DeepFake.
And now we're going to pivot. We're going to turn about or talk about
Problem Solution.
Yeah, but it password list, and it's not obviously passwords aren't a new concept, but the management, and I like what you said earlier, because this is key for old people like me, is it eliminates the need to know your password, or to remember your password.
That's
I shouldn't say
so
no.
So you don't have to write it down on your keyboard.
Right. But of course, it does mean you've got a connection to something on the internet, right?
That's right.
So you get, but you know, nowadays, well, I don't know. I mean, there are remote areas where if you don't live there, you haven't invested in the technology, whatever it is, satellite or otherwise. But that's, you know, that's such a small percentage. I guess, you know, it's there'll be something someday. If it's not already out there, it's going to get more affordable, maybe.
It's a lot easier.
You know, Starlink or whatever.
So in the nutshell, for our user out there that we don't have to use a non-techie, the passwordless authentication is a way to log in without using a password, plain and simple.
Yeah.
So what does it mean? So instead it rely on a method like, so it relies on you to type in your password. Instead, it relies on a method like fingerprint, facial recognition, and one-time code, right, on your phone or your email. So now, this also comes with the risk, but is fall into the realm of possibility and probability than probability to get hacked, right? Because your password is always changing. It's never the same. So that's a good thing. So if, for example, I have a service that I logged in and I put in my email, then it said, hey, we just send you the code on your email, on your text. And I've used it. That's a one-time code that I access. So unless somebody, you know, hack your phone, hack your email, then I can get in, but the chance is very low. Then you remember your password, right? Or facial or fingerprint are very safe. You use your fingerprint on your laptop.
Biometrics,
right?
Yeah.
But the thing about facial recognition, I don't know. I still have a little concern about that with deepfake and all that kind of stuff. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. So deepfake is another thing that real concern. You know, that's the social engineering that you're using it to scam people. So
yeah.
I can use your face. So the way, let's switch topic a little bit. The way to recognize the deepfake to look at You look at the photo, you look at the pictures, visual, okay? You look at how the facial, and you look at the quality, the lip and the eyes. Pay attention to those things. That's how you know it's fake or not. Okay? That's some clues. So when people use a deep fake, you know what it looked like. So you need to be look at the eyes, look at the face, look at the pixel. So you know it's fake.
Yeah, the pixelization is the dead giveaway now, but that's going to change, right? I mean, things are going to get, the tools are going to get better, right?
The face and the body mismatch and the lip sync error, okay? That's some you have to really look at it, kind of blurry, like the odd facial boundary artifacts. You can see it, okay? You have to look at you can see it. But still, technology will change. Will change.
Yeah.
So I think North Korean already, I'm about to talk about another one. How much time do we have?
We've got about 7 minutes, Wynn.
Seven minutes. Yeah. So that's a new thing now that that the hacker will use like a remote work. For example, if you hire people remotely, right, and you don't know, you try to recruit them and you look at the Zoom or they're in and then you hire them, right? Remotely, the contractor. Once they're in your company, they can inject, they can say it for months and they decide one day that they open a file, they're injecting the file, the ransomware file. So how do they do that? And you know who notorious for that? North Koreans.
Is that right?
So during the
it's COVID, not the Israelis?
And I don't doubt that too. I don't doubt that too. But I'm telling you, that's a risk out there when you hire people remotely. You see, that's a challenge, right? Let's just say you hired a person from China, but actually he remoted in from North Korea. You saw his face, but you don't know where he is because he's a remote worker. And for there, he can. And those people, we're talking about state sponsor hackers. So they are very savvy. They have the technology like the Israeli does, right? You look at the software that the Israeli made, the Pegasus. That's the one that it intercept your phone. Remember the guy in Turkey got killed in the embassy?
Yeah.
Okay, they're using that. So the Saudi are using that technology, the software. They can hack into your phone without you touching your phone, without you click on the link.
Okay? That's scary.
That is scary, but that's a state sponsor hackers. So North Korea are very notorious with that. That's why I bring that up. And I think the FBI just released the report that they are using that right now. And a lot of people don't realize until they get hacked. And they send out a lot of stuff. Like they're hacking a Bitcoin, or like your wallet. You know, if your wallet, if they send you a link and you click on it, they can steal all your tokens, all your Bitcoin from your wallet.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. New technology begets new problems, right?
Yeah, it is a challenge. So, you know, to summarize all this, we talk about deepfake. No, we talk about DeepSeek, right? And I'm going to play more with that. And hopefully next time I'll give you a little more that I learned about it. But I think this area is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, sure seems to be. Well, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes remaining. When? What else should we bring up? What's in the news besides this has been, these two subjects have just sucked the oxygen out of the room this week, haven't
they? I think the area of AI with the Chinese new DeepSeek and also the ban in TikTok. And what are they going to do next? Ban DeepSeek?
Yeah.
What is the next step?
Yeah. Good luck.
So, you know that they tried to ban TikTok. You know how many American users are there?
I've lost track. I've seen a lot of numbers. It's a lot of people.
127 million.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's
just Americans, huh?
Just Americans.
Wow. That's crazy.
And I tell you, I use TikTok, right? And the algorithm is changed already. I noticed already. I noticed because I use TikTok. I have followers, and I see the algorithm already changed. They did something to it.
Hey, I've got a question for you. I don't know if we've got enough time, but, you know, when they talk about offers to buy TikTok, like Kevin O'Leary and, and others, but it, quote, doesn't include the algorithm. Explain what that means. Are you buying access to their database of videos, but you're not getting...
The data, one thing, the algorithm is the secret sauce. That's right. The main thing. You can have the data without the secret sauce.
So how can we have, you know, Trump talks about the value that Americans bring to the table. Is that simply the user base? And I'm not sure you can wall that off, can you?
I mean, I don't think that's an issue. I think it's some issue here, but it's not a big deal because I don't understand what the problem is. Because they using our Oracle database here. We see what's coming in and out. So if they're talking about information going out to China, we control all the server here. I think it's just an excuse because TikTok is better. And I think it has something to do with Facebook, okay, and or Google, because we hosting
because they're all the doing the same thing. Yeah, I mean they're grabbing our data right and left,
and we do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So why are we banning them? You banning them, you only create there will be another. What you gonna do? Ban them again, and keep banning them again. You make them better. So that's just my opinion. I think TikTok is very powerful, and did I tell you that I order stuff from there? I don't have a single fraud coming back. But you try with Facebook, see what happens.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's so
no
many
kidding.
Fraud out there, so they cannot beat TikTok, so they ban it. So, I mean, there's some truth to it that the Chinese may be monitoring us, but you know they don't put information in there, in the first place.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, listen, we're at the end of the show once again. Thank you for listening today. And Wynn, thank you for coming aboard once again. And we will look forward to next Sunday. Hopefully we can do another version and we'll have even more information about these products and these concepts. But there's no doubt a lot to get your head around and try to at least hang on and understand what's going on. But anyway, we'll return once again on Friday with our real estate retirement planning zero tax bracket private partnership syndication investing show, and we hope you can join in at that time. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.